Welcome. You are listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. I'm live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1fm. I'm sorry if we're streaming live on the web. I was doing something else, took my attention away. Let me try it again. www.wwgh1071.com. Now that's for your internet viewers. Download free app. You would think this was Monday, but it's not. Download free app and search WWGH. Now, that download free app is called TuneIn. I'm going to take a moment, get myself together, because I'm all over the place. Why? I do not know. Okay. Download free app called TuneIn. Okay. When you do that, search WWGH. There are so many talk show programs we would like for you to take advantage of for your convenience and for the convenience of others. So, make a note of those three things. If you can get through all the mishaps and misspeak things that I misspoke, okay? So maybe I'll do that again at the end of the program so I will not have you confused. Once again, Linda Sims, name of the program, A Voice of a People. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you will enjoy the show, okay? I promise it won't be like I started. All right? Now, I need to share with you, just for a moment, those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, they have free produce every second Saturday of every month. This will take place June the 13th, 2020. The time is from 12 noon until 2 p.m. and they will be at the location of the church, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. So share that with other people who may be in need of free produce during these hot days that are coming up on us. So, I like to start the show with a thought for today. It's titled, Trust Yourself. You must begin to trust yourself. If you do not, then you will forever be looking to others to prove your own merit to you, and you will have, your own merit to you. And you will never be satisfied. You will always depend upon others what to do and what at the same time, trying to read my writing, resenting those from whom you seek such advice. Now, what they're saying is when you listen to other people and they may give you, well, they do give you their advice and you take their advice, but it doesn't work out for you, then you're upset with them because you followed them, but you shouldn't have asked them. You should have depended on yourself. You think that's what they're saying, Tim?
Yeah. It's funny because I think we do that with ideas. A lot of times if you have an idea that's sparking your brain, right, and mm-hmm. you know it's a good idea, first thing we do is go to somebody else and ask them, is it a good idea? You know what I mean? And
right.
we seek their opinion and all those things. Sometimes it's you need to trust yourself and trust your process, because some people do have your intentions, good intentions in mm-hmm. their heart for you, but sometimes it comes from a spot of protection, right? So they may seem like that's hard to do or impossible. They may seem like that's hard to do or impossible. So they will tell you that. They will definitely tell you that. I don't know if that's something you should do, but it's coming from a form of protection. But a lot of times, if I do the very thing that you think is impossible, then I mean, I do the impossible every day, you know. So
yes, absolutely, absolutely. And that voice you hear is Tim Jones. He's been on my program several times, even when I first got started, yeah. You know, over there on Church Street, yeah. Remember? Mm-hmm. And you had started that group. Was it Rebel?
Yeah, Rebels to Society. Yeah,
Rebels to Society. Yeah, yes, yeah. That was neat, though.
Going against the norm. That's pretty cool, yeah.
It was.
Back in 2011.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. That's been a while, hasn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah. I see you had that 97.5. That's where I was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. That's been a woo. What year did you say?
2011.
Wow. Time has really gone by fast, hasn't it? Yeah, yes, it has. But Tim, also, you're still a consultant for recovery
counseling. Mm-hmm. For people suffering from addiction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's located at the
Prospect on Water Street, Dr. Mark Piacentini's office.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So he is a very motivated young man, and he's. He's definitely an example to other young men or even young boys in school who may be struggling with growing up. Because the day that we live in today is, I don't know what happened. It seemed like 2020 came in and all hell broke loose. Like, wow. Yeah,
it wasn't a good start.
It wasn't.
It's crazy because we're almost 6 months. We're 6 months in now.
June. So, yeah, so 6 months.
It's going super fast. So hopefully 21 could come real quick. And
oh, my.
Hopefully it got a different approach than 2020. That was just very chaotic. It just started off just
right.
On the wrong foot, it seemed like.
Right. So, and when I had you on here, we was just getting into the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, right before, a little bit before. Yeah, towards the end of the month.
Yeah.
That's when it started, yep.
Yeah, and we was like, okay. Mm-hmm. We was trying to get through that and see mm-hmm. what we had to do and how we had to do it, you know, mm-hmm. protect ourselves and all that. And now, this murder has happened.
Yeah.
And I know we all seen it, and that's what we all consider it to have been. Being a young man, prosperous young man, and doing all you can to keep your head above water and being an example for others. When you first saw that, what was your take on that?
I told people, I went live about it actually. I couldn't sleep. I definitely had trouble sleeping. It was just the thought, just a single thought that I felt personally when I watched it. I felt like that individual enjoyed what he was doing. You know what I mean? I felt like he didn't have no sense of regard of another person's life, regardless if you see somebody as a criminal or whatever, however you see the threat or whatever it may be. Nobody deserves that, because honestly, if you look back mm-hmm. and you look at the whole entire situation, that man was in handcuffs.
Yes.
He was on his stomach.
Yes.
You know, and he's telling you that he cannot breathe and these things. And for you to just ignore those signs, like, that just shows forth that it's a mental thing now. We have to be evaluated, and this is my solution. Police officers, nurses, doctors, anybody that's in a high, stressful, you know, work
right,
force, work conditions,
yes.
You know, those type of things, they need to have psychiatric evaluations. Not to say that anybody's crazy, but we need to decompress. We need to be able to get from the stress and traumas, because if every day you go to work and you're operating basically off of adrenaline, mm-hmm, right? The fight mm-hmm, or flight, mm-hmm. Then that's going to be your response. And how it works is, one, it makes you sick because it floods the body with cortisol,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So cortisol works two ways. It's supposed to enter in. So when you're in a situation, the cortisol floods the body, and it's for fight or flight. It's for you to take action. Are you going to run or are you going to fight? So it's the adrenaline portion. But once the threat is over, it's supposed to stop.
Right, right.
But if we're in constant threat, right, if we're in constant, we're in this constant situation of fight or flight, then it's like an IV. It's just a drip tip.
Mm.
It's a drip tip. And every time your body floods with cortisol, it literally it cuts off your immune system.
Right.
Because your immune system, in order for your immune system to stay up, it takes energy, right? And so the energy that you need goes to the hands and feet. So it cuts off, it literally cuts off your immune system.
Whoa.
And this is how you get sick, you know, and people don't understand that as well. But I feel like these people that's in these positions where they're constantly seeing trauma or stress and these type of things, they need to be evaluated each month, and they also need time off because they have to decompress.
They have
to get out. They need to see something different. They need to see a different type of energy, because you can become, in a sense, numb to the things around you and numb to the situations, right? Because you're in just this constant state of what I call fight or flight or panic or whatever it may be, and there's no good results. You can't respond the way you should if you're constantly reacting. So, see, there's a difference between reacting and responding. Like, if something falls off the table and I just automatically catch it, that was a reaction.
Right, right.
If somebody slammed on their brakes in front of me, I'm going to slam on my brakes. That's a reaction. I don't have time to really process it and think about it. The body just does it. Subconscious just does it. So now, if you got these people that's constantly reacting instead of responding, then you're going to continue to get results that we're seeing.
Right.
You know, oh, I'm in a constant fight or flight mode. This person's a threat. All your senses are saying eliminate the threat. Just like if a virus comes into the body or bacteria comes in the body, it automatically says eliminate it. This is clearly why the brain tells the body, the hypothalamus portion of the brain says fever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's heat the whole body up. We're trying to burn it up. We're trying to burn it up.
Trying to kill it, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So the fever is not the sickness. The fever is the defense.
The defense,
okay, yes. So now there's some things that you have to do. How do you put out a fire? Water. So when you're sick, you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to drink a lot of water.
True.
You know what I mean? What else do you do? You lay down. So the body and the muscles, they get tired because it's trying to use the energy in order to heal the body. So your goal is to lay down, get rest, the proper rest. And we think this stuff is the sickness. It's not. The fever is not the sickness. Certain things that we should do to respond. The body is telling you this is what you need to do because it becomes super hydrated. So this is why you should drink a lot of water. You're putting out a fire, but you need to rehydrate because why? You're sweating. It's trying to push out the toxins. It's pushing out the sickness, you know, all this other stuff. You're getting chills. The body is literally shivering and shaking to push out the toxins, to push out the poison, to push out whatever it is. So there's certain responses the body have, and there's certain things that we need to do. But imagine if we just reacting. You're not gonna get the entire results.
And we see the results of just reacting. So do you think that maybe that was the policeman's problem? Mm-hmm. I say problem.
Well, yeah, because
he had many more instances where he was just off the chain.
Yeah, it is a problem because honestly, that you got to also look at people's views, right? Because what we think is how we behave and how we behave. What we think is what we believe, and what we believe is how we behave. So if he's coming across each individual that looks like me, and he's been taught somewhere down the line that this person is a threat to me, this person is a violent person, this person is not a good person.
Right.
That's what he thinks, that's what he believes, and that's going to show forth in your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if I think I'm a POS, a piece of, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I believe that, that's how I'm going to act. That's exactly how I'm going to act. So what you think and what you believe is how you behave. And that showed forth in his behavior, in his character. You do it enough times, it becomes your character. You do
right.
it, and once that becomes your character, it becomes your personality trait. It's part of his personality.
So what the Word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he.
That's absolutely right.
Wow.
That's absolutely right.
Of course we had to bring in the Lord's.
Absolutely. His principles is never wrong. It never steered me in the wrong direction.
No, never, never.
That's just for me. That's my own personal take.
Same here. All the wisdom in the world is right there. Lead you, guide you, show you your way.
Yeah.
That's, I know a lot of, even my own grandson, he's just turned 16.
Mm-hmm.
He's very concerned, somewhat fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Now the young men don't want to. They got to be respectful of what they're doing anywhere, where they go, how they go.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, they are more on the alert. I put it like that now. Because after all, school shut down.
Mm-hmm.
All the activities shut down.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are at home. They're still somewhat on home stay as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all are still there.
Yep.
So what advice could you give some of those young men?
You know, continue. You can't lose self in all this of who you are, especially if you're doing the right thing. You know, if you're sowing the right thing, you're going to reap the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times I try to do the right thing even if it doesn't benefit me personally in a way that I might see fit for self.
Right.
Right. And so literally in these times is the best time for us to honestly find ourselves. The COVID thing is so crazy to me, but it's a blessing in disguise too, because one thing it allowed you to do is people got to spend more time at home. There's a lot of people that's off. Now you get to spend a little bit more time with your kids. But in that time that you're doing that, don't say, oh, the kids are getting on my nerves. I'm ready for them to go back to school. Get to know your kids.
True.
Get to know your kids,
yes.
Because the teachers are going through, you know, going yes. through this. And everybody has stuff that's going on. And this might be the chance to reshape and to relearn some behavior. You know, get to know your kids. Why right. they're at home. Get to know your kids while you're off. Trust me, when all this stuff start to go back up, y'all going to have plenty of time to go back to your job and work all the overtime in the world, because you got to understand, businesses got to catch up with production and all that other stuff, so that's going to take time. Everybody's behind, right? So when everything begins to go back, in a sense, what we say is normal, or go back to a normal routine, you know, that's just might where you going to end up being. You're going to probably be spending more time at work or whatever it may be. So enjoy the time that you have right now and find yourself, evaluate yourself, you know, spend the time with your significant others, figure out what it is they love, what's been bothering them, what's been on their mind, what's been on their heart, this and the third, because once we begin to understand the notion, it's not about us. It's
right.
about
everybody
others around
else.
Us.
Yeah.
And I get that notion from, we can go to the Bible, we say Yahshua, we say Jesus, right? He was a king, right? Mm-hmm. So if you believe that word, he was a king, right? And the king's job is to be served. But what did he do?
He came to serve.
He served. So why do I think, this is why he said, the servant should be no greater than his master.
That's right.
Right? So why do I think I should be the one that's being served all the time? You understand?
I don't know where we
king,
get that from. Yeah.
When a king, if this is what you
serve.
Believe, came
yeah.
and served. And so, but that's what brings fulfillment in life too, and that's what brings purpose. When you help serve other people, and that's what I'm learning. When you help
right.
serve that person that's next to you or that neighbor, are you doing what's best for them? It just gives you all more purpose. It makes you genuinely happy. It makes you genuinely happy.
That's a good thought, because that kind of deviates from this. And then again, it does not, because of the events and how 2020 has come in to play, and a lot of people are stressed, you know, and they don't know what to do with their time, you know, and half of them still afraid to go out and you know, other than getting their necessities or not even going to church yet. People are still not comfortable with that right now. But you're talking about the love of Christ. And the love that he has for us and shown us, came here, even washed feet. You know what I'm saying? And he was in every scenario. He was in every circumstance on earth, like we have to walk every day, right?
Yep.
And he didn't back up from people.
No.
Did he?
No.
No. That's so powerful. That is really powerful.
Yeah, thank you.
Because we're like... I don't know if I'm going over there or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
And that comes from a form of protection. You know, you're trying to protect yourself, and that's
true.
And that's completely understandable. And you got to take your best interest and your best foot forward. So if you don't think it's safe for you to be around these people or whatever it may be, then if that's how you truly feel, follow your intuition.
Right.
It never lies to you. Right, but for me, I'm never honestly in a state of worry. You know, what's gonna happen. Whether COVID gets me or I go outside and get hit by a car. You know what I'm saying? If it's my time, that's for me, it's my time.
It's your time.
Also use a sense of responsibility of protecting yourself too. You know, because just like everything wants to live and everything wants to be present, and everybody wants to live and be present.
True.
So don't put yourself in harm's way. Like, I'm not gonna go outside, just stand in front of, you know, playing traffic. You know what I'm saying?
Let's hope not, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to put myself in harm's way intentionally, but at the same time, I'm not going to be afraid to cross the street.
Right.
Because
right.
I got somewhere I need to go. You know what I'm saying? I got somewhere I need to be. So if I feel like I need to go check on my grandma, you know, I'm going to go check on her. She might not want to hug me, Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's all right.
She might have her own. Right. She might have her own restrictions.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm at least call her up or go over there, whether it's for a couple of seconds or what may be. But we can't be afraid to move forward too. At the same time, you don't want to be stuck in a box because you're gonna drive yourself crazy.
That's
looking
true.
At four walls, you drive yourself nuts.
And listening to that news over and over mm-hmm. and over and over, and nothing seems to be getting better. Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
know. So, and when you you still consulting?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, how are your during your practice? Are you confronting any issues with your like subjects?
Like as far as the COVID go?
Yeah. Now, not only that, this riot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because we've seen a pattern. A lot of them, they need to do something mm-hmm. because when you don't have nothing to do, you don't feel a sense of purpose in a sense. You just here. And as life is about growth, and we're biological beings. And so if you understand nature, everything wants to grow. So the grass is going to grow as high as it can. The trees are going to grow as high as it can.
Right.
You know, a flower is not going to come out the ground and have two petals and say, okay, I'm cool with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, it's going to be as tall as it can. It's going to be as radiant as it can. It's going to be as bright as it can. Right.
Right.
So when people feel stagnant, this is and or they feel like they're going backwards, now they're dealing with a lot of depression. Or you're super worried about the future, so you're too far ahead and you're trying to predict things that's not even happening. So now you're dealing with a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we got to keep the mind busy. You know what I mean? So what they say, it's a cliche, it's a term saying what idle hand is the devil's work.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So sometimes you got too much idle time and too much thought of going in. And a lot of times the way our brain works, when we go into thought, it's usually a collection of memories of the past. So our memories in our brain is nothing but records of the past, right? So a lot of people go in deep thought, and they're thinking of records of the past. And if you're thinking of a lot of trauma and you're thinking about a lot of, you know, anger and all the bad portions.
Right.
And if those emotions are still alive and prevalent, you're literally reliving that. You're literally reliving that, right?
Constantly.
So forgiveness is the key. You know,
mm-hmm,
forgiveness
mm-hmm.
of yourself and people, places, and things.
Right.
Because when you look back on that, you want it to be a scar. You don't want it to be an open wound.
Right.
You want to be able to not feel all that. And that's how you get over that. That's how you get over the depression portion. Right. So when you recall it, you don't feel the pain. You don't feel the trauma or none of that. You're like, okay, cool. You know, that's just a scar now. But it's the same thing for anxiety. A lot of people be too far out. You know, I don't want to go to the store because of this, that, and the third. But you haven't even crossed that bridge. Cross that bridge when you get there.
Right.
One thing I know about situations, when we get into situations, we know exactly what to do. And it's not really typically times where you plan ahead of time to get into some type of situation. It just happens. As humans, we know what to do. You have a brain. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's true. That's true.
You know what to do. So,
that's
so,
true.
And so now it's always coming back to being rooted to the now. And I use the WIN acronym. What's important now? Right?
Right.
So I'm right here in this moment. What's important now? You know, I'm at home. What's important now? Focus on the kids. This and third. Find something for yourself to do. But that's going back to your question. That's what it seems like. A lot of people have idle time and they don't know what to do with their time. This is time you find yourself. This is time you find your passions and what you like. And this is time to come up with your plan to move forward,
mm-hmm.
to move
mm-hmm.
forward so you can constantly feel like you're progressing and growing.
True, true.
Because that's what gives life purpose. The moment you stop is the moment you feel like you don't have no purpose.
Wow. And then you go through the depression mm-hmm. and anxiety
yep.
and reliving your life backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Backwards.
Yep. And understanding that everything you do, it's like a Rubik's Cube. Reality is constantly being shifted. So every decision that we make right now, you're shifting that future, slowly
right.
but surely. So that's the thing. So if you're doing, think about it. If I'm studying the stock market or whatever it may be, and I'm going to invest or whatever it may be, I'm literally shifting my future. If that's what I want to do, like finance, if I want to have a little bit more money, I'll start to save. And it all adds up. It's small things. So the same thing, we're constantly, the decisions that we make, because
mm-hmm.
life don't care about good or bad.
Right.
Reality doesn't. It just gives you results.
Right.
You know, so if I say I'm going to rob a bank, now if I get away with that, and if I get away with that, it might be a good thing, right? I got away with it, right? It
right.
might be bad to somebody else, their perspective.
True.
Oh, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say if I go to jail or whatever and I get convicted and I go to prison for robbing a bank, to me, that might be a bad thing. But to somebody else, that's good because you ain't out here robbing banks, stealing money, right? So it's perspective.
Right. Yes,
but life
yes.
did not dictate, say, that was good or bad. All it says, hey, Tim, you robbed a bank. Here's the results. Boom. Yes. There you go, buddy.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
Woo.
You know?
Yes, 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 yes. You reap what you sow,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
There's a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Good price to pay, a bad price to pay. Depends on your choice,
yeah,
right?
Depending on what side of the coin you on.
That is great. Good words, good information. And then again, here we go with the other policemen that were involved, that were holding George Floyd, right?
Mm.
Holding him down.
Mm.
What was their perspective of this whole thing?
I think policies, man. I think policies makes it hard for people to do the right thing. Policies and like certain codes and ethics, you know, you got to understand, like, they're the FOP, so they got their own fraternity. Mm-hmm. And they got their own brotherhood. So let's say if that person did stand up against, you know, that wrongdoing. Imagine the eyes is going to look at him when he go back to his precinct. Oh, you didn't have your brother's back. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, those type of things. So are you willing to do, in order to do the right thing, are you willing to go through the fire for doing the right thing? You know, because a lot of times the right thing isn't rewarded.
True.
You know what I mean? You don't get no rewards for doing the right thing. You know, some people might give you a thank you and later on down the line, like, you did the right thing. But that comes with the self-gratification, you know, knowing that I did the right thing, even in a bad situation, but having the courage to do that. And some people be so caught up in self-doubt and so caught up in fear,
right,
having the fear of the repercussions of not backing up his fellow officer and doing the right thing, or choosing the other side. You know, there could be repercussions for that.
True.
You know, on their end. You know, rather they get in a situation and their partners or whoever's riding with them don't have their back. You know what I mean? Because it's a code, and I hate policies and I hate certain codes because it can tie you into a box. You know what I mean? And that person could be isolated from the rest of his brothers that he go to work with, or the union, or whoever it may be. So that could have been the reason. I'm just looking at different perspectives.
Right, right.
I really don't know, but I know this type of stuff happens. You know, I know this type of stuff happens. So you might fear the repercussions of you doing the right thing. And
right.
I see that a lot. You know, just like I seen the people holding the camera, and I'm like, man, why don't they do something? Somebody please do. Like,
they was
like,
trying, like, though. They were talking
yeah,
anyway.
They were talking.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes you got to take forth action. And I understand the looting part and all this other stuff. People are getting tired of talking. But sometimes some people are taking actions. Now, some of the actions to me is wrong in the steps they take. But they're doing something.
Yes, they are.
You're doing
are.
Something. And
yes,
you're going to determine are. Whether, we're going to determine whether that's right or wrong. But in their mind, they feel like it's justifiable. Now, whether I feel like it's justifiable or not, that's just a whole another discussion.
Yes, it is.
But
and
you know,
your opinion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, my opinion is my own, and it's vain because it's mine.
Right.
And so that's the thing too. I was like, yo, I'm so tensed watching it, and I didn't, oh my God, I couldn't sleep. Like, why didn't somebody else do something? But you don't know what you're going to do when you're in those situations, right?
No.
Because we all can say what we thought we would have done or whatever it may be, but sometimes when the action comes,
yeah, and even when they were speaking up, that one policeman put his hand on his gun, like, if anybody move,
I got to protect my brother, you know? And that can start a constant, you know, that put other people in a fear state. Like,
yes.
I want to do something so bad, but I don't have a gun. I don't have a vest. I don't have backup.
No.
I don't know if this other person's right beside me is going to say, you know what, that's wrong too. I'm going to help too.
Right.
You know, you might be the only one in there. And then you get to thinking about your situation and your family and your circumstances.
Right.
And then you feel helpless.
Yes.
And those people behind the camera and those people that were talking, they felt helpless.
Yes.
And you can hear it. And all they want is you to do, all they want is that officer to comply to their commands.
Mm-hmm.
Get off of them. Just like you want us to comply to your commands.
Right.
Understand that it got to be a two-way street out here.
Yes, it does.
It has to be
yes,
a two-way street. If I say I can't breathe, get up off me, just get up off me. I'm contained.
Right, already contained.
You got me in the cuffs.
Right.
I'm on the ground.
Right.
What more do you want?
Oh, God.
What more do you want?
He wanted his
comply
life.
To my comply to my commands,
right,
too.
Right.
You wanted me to get down and all that other stuff. Okay, yeah, it took a while, whatever. I don't know. I didn't see the beginning portion of how it really all started. But all I know is, as police officers and people in these authoritative positions, comply to our commands too. Listen to us too. You want us to listen to you, and you want things to go smooth? If that's how you feel, hey, listen to me and things will go smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also listen to me too, because I'm a human too.
That's
and things
right.
can go smooth too. You know, if
that's
I'm caught,
true.
I'm caught. If I did a crime and you caught me, I'm caught.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to fight for myself at first. That's any old body.
Oh, yeah.
But then you come to a sense of realization, okay, it is what it is, over with. You're caught. Okay, time to face up. Time to face up to what you've done.
Right. He couldn't go anywhere.
He couldn't go anywhere. He was helpless. He couldn't go anywhere. And so to me, that was senseless. That was senseless. And
it was senseless.
It was hard to watch.
Oh, yes. Even, I wish they stopped showing it because it's like a churning in your stomach, you know, like it's your own brother or sister that you're watching. And it's just been so many others. And they did that special on CNN about black men living and dying in America. And they went all the way back to Trayvon Martin, you know, and all the women and mothers that's been crying out for their children, you know, living in the last days.
Yep,
it takes you all the way back to Genesis when the people of Israel, yes, I said people of Israel, was crying out for God to change their circumstance. Even though they had left God, was doing their own thing, going their own way, serving their own gods. But they came to a point that they had to cry out.
That's true. I mean, even he said that. He said, for my people, he said, if my people will humble themselves and pray.
Yes.
Humble themselves and pray. Yes. First thing. He said, then I'll begin to hear from heaven and hear your land. Come on. He's not playing.
Say, repent. Turn away from that mess you're doing, right? Turn away.
And that's all of us.
Yes,
so
it
we
is.
We got to humble. First, I love the first command he gave you, humble yourself.
That's right.
Because a lot of stuff to come in humbling yourself. You got to put all your pride up when you humble yourself.
Yes,
right?
You do.
And second thing,
do.
Pray. Pray. Call upon your strength.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Call upon that strength. You know?
And that's when you realize you're really nobody. You're really nothing.
Yep.
Because now that you have humbled yourself under the mighty hands of God, then you begin to see how big
he is.
Yes.
How strong
how insignificant
is.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he wasn't pulling the strings, where would I be?
Yep. And then you realize it's not about you.
No.
And you realize, like, because I think that's one thing. I used to didn't have no self-control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I punched a hole in my mom's wall. Now, this is her house that she paid for. Like, that's am I really that type of guy that I'm that upset? I can put a hole in her wall, right? And and I remember going back to work and I cried out to God, like, listen, if I could have changed, if you got to help me because I got to get some type of control on this, because if I could have been did it, I would have been did it. And understand, that's when I understood it's not your strength, too. It's his strength. You do it by his strength.
That's true.
And the stuff that you pray for and people, we don't understand this. You get what you want in life. You get what you want in life. And I try to break this down to people. Life and death is upon the tongue, right?
Yes.
So once I started asking for self-control, he started putting me in more situations to where I had to examine self-control. That's how that works. It's like
it does.
A test. You know, and once you pass a test, just like a teacher is not going to give you the same exact test. You know what I'm saying? Because you passed it. Now we gotta level up, right?
That's true.
Not level out. See, I did that, pun intended. You got to level up, not level out. So now you're going to another situation that might be a little bit harder. But what you find yourself doing is handling it slightly different.
Oh, yeah.
And to the point where it don't affect you like it used to.
That's true. That's true.
And so these are a couple of principles I try to teach people. And like even the younger fellas that I hang around with and they're in relationships and stuff, I tell them, be careful what you say. And reason being, because you get what you want. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Myself and my daughter's mother, right? We were together. And I will always say this sentence. You know what? I don't care if she leaves, as long as I have my daughter.
Right.
I don't care if she leaves, as long as I have my daughter. I don't care if she leaves, I'm putting that in the universe, right?
And she left.
And so what happens is, it gave me what I wanted.
Yeah,
And it will put it together in a way of however it came together. That's what happens. Right. So had I worded it differently, and said it differently. So if you want a good relationship, you speak those things. You know, this woman is beautiful. This woman is glorious. This, that, and the third. My relationship is good. Like you got to speak those things. You got to act upon that because you're going to get what you want.
That's true.
You're going to get what you ask for.
What you say. So
you're going to get what you say.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so, like, really, it was like I think about 4 years. That's exactly what happened. She left and I got my daughter. I had my daughter 80-90% of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I got what I wanted. I sit there and I reflect back. Like, yo, you got what you wanted. How can you be mad at that?
I know what you're saying, Tim, because I recently saw that maybe a couple months ago. Somebody had quoted that.
Mm.
You know, Don't be surprised now that is all over. That's what you've been putting out there. That's what you've been saying all this time. Now here you are.
Yep.
Now roll with that.
Yeah, roll with that. Don't sit there and say, oh, she get on my nerves and I'll just leave. Because guess what? Life going to put together a situation to where you just
it's
go
over.
Leave. You know what I mean?
It's just
so,
over.
So you got to speak different.
Yes,
you got to speak different.
Do.
You got to speak life into these things. You got a struggling relationship? Hey,
yes.
Start with speaking life.
That's right.
Start with speaking life.
Powerful point.
Thank you.
Another powerful point. It is good food for these young men growing up and young women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he don't do me right, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or he gone. You know, it works both ways.
Yep.
Right? Both ways. Now, we have been talking about where we are. Where are we going? And do you see this thing turning?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are becoming aware. You know, like even in the past, as a black community, we were aware. And as a black man, you know, I'm aware of what goes on, you know, with myself and other people because I experience it.
Right.
So once other people can become aware, that's when we can bring forth change.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot more people beginning to speak out. And this is one thing I love about social media. Social media didn't change us. It exposed us. Right?
Right.
So if you was a butthole, now everybody knows it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you post. Right?
Right.
You know, if you was a funny person, now everybody knows because you know, so it exposed us. So, but the thing I love about it is you're constantly being watched and recorded no matter what. Everybody got their own little media.
Don't they?
Which is their phone. You know
yes.
what I mean? Everybody their own little media company.
Yes.
Which is their phones, right? And so now that can bring forth awareness. Now everybody is seeing what's been going on that hasn't been documented throughout the years, throughout
That's
the
right.
60s, throughout the 20s, throughout the whole time.
Right.
But now it's in our face.
Yes,
and now
is.
You can take accountability because it starts with you. It starts with the person in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so now if my perception can change about individuals and say, you know what, I'm not going to judge this person off their physical, their looks and their appearance, but I'm actually judge this person by their actions and what they do and what they constantly show me. Now that's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not that I don't like white people. I judge people off their character.
Right. Right.
Of who you are. So if you show me that this is the person that you are, I'm gonna believe you. Not to say that nobody, I don't cast judgment because judgment is saying that you can't change. You know what I'm saying? Judgment
right.
is saying, like, you will always be this.
Right, that's true.
That's judgment.
But people can change.
But
yes.
I'm also open to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also open to that as well. So if I see a person, let's say they was racist, and they grew up racist, that's what they were taught, right?
Wow.
They were taught that this person is a threat, this, that, and the third. And then this person comes with some type of awareness, like, I worked at Whirlpool, and this guy was racist. He was a racist guy. Like, he even told me. But him and I began to speak, and there's another person, I think his name was Alan Jones from here in Marion, changed that whole man's perception.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he started, instead of saying, this is the way this person, the appearance of these people, this is how they are, finally somebody come along, and I don't know his experience with black people or whatever before, it could have been negative, it could have been bad, I don't know, but finally somebody came along and changed his whole perception, and now he gave other people options, and he's a great dude. Before he told me that, I would have never guessed. He's a great man. Loved me to death. When he goes hunting and stuff, he call me up and, you know, give me some deer meat. His wife makes me Buckeyes. You know what I mean? So his perception changed. So if I would have had in my mind, that's who you are, and cast judgment upon him like he couldn't change, then I would have just been as wrong as anybody else.
Wow. And you know, the powerful thing about that is, which you have said a lot of powerful things and very influential and inspirational things to people, point blank, you have made a case for where we are, what we're going through, how we can possibly get out of it by what we say, what we think, what we do, you know, what we expect, what's inside of you, you know, is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be so careful with that. And that's what I like about having you here on the show, because your perspective of things, you know, no matter what I think, someone else has a different perspective, you know, and they can take me a little deeper into where I may be, you know, and I'm sure others who are listening on the show today too. Hopefully you all are enjoying Tim today. because he's a bright young man, and I really enjoy him and spending time with him. I really do. Now, we have these people rioting, mm-hmm. breaking into stores and mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday when they said why George Floyd died, then they started up all over again. It got even worse. Now there's a funeral coming. What should we expect? In your opinion, we got a couple minutes.
My opinion, I expect they possibly,
one minute.
A lot of times they're going to get the same results. What I mean? Because if they're not, people, you see the pattern. You know,
this
is why he died.
We
know why he died, and this is the third. So, but it's the approach. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I've been watching different protests, and the ones where I see the police in riot gear and they being aggressive and they got their hand on their guns and pepper spray and all that, those are the ones that turn out bad. But the ones that I've seen, the officers are kneeling with the people and they're standing with people and they're showing empathy.
Right.
Those are the ones I see that's good. Because you got to understand, all races are coming together in support of this.
Right, in protest,
as well.
Yes.
In this protest, it's not just us.
No, it's not.
It's a little bit of everybody, right?
It is.
And so it doesn't have to be us against the police. We just want y'all to show empathy and understand where we're coming from.
Right, absolutely.
And the ones that are, it's peaceful. It's a beautiful thing. They're high-fiving, you know, they show empathy.
We're out of time.
Yeah.
Out of time, Tim. We'll have you on here really soon again. Thank you for listening.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is, I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no. And that makes sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read. And Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here. And it's here. Face it, it's here. It's done. And what she said, and I want everyone to know, she